It's the Talent Talk Podcast, the official podcast of Morehead State University Athletics. We welcome you to this week's episode. A reminder, you can access this podcast on msueagles.com, the official website of Eagle Athletics, and a variety of other avenues, including Spotify, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also access archived episodes on msueagles.com/podcasts. This is episode number 6. On today's show, host Matt Schaber is joined by track and field alum and the team captain in the late 1960s, Dennis Hersey. Dennis is a native of Brockton, Massachusetts, and made his way to Morehead State in 1965. During his career as a sprinter, he set numerous school records under head coach Dr. Marshall Banks. Dennis talks about his time at MSU and his relationship with the late Dr. Banks, who passed away this month at the age of 80. He also lets us know about his career after college and how he is helping his community now in Massachusetts. Thanks for listening, and let's move into the podcast now.
Welcome to another edition of Talent Talk, the official Morehead State Athletics podcast, and I'm so thrilled today. I'm Matt Schabert, by the way, your host. So thrilled today to be joined by Dennis Hersey, and Dennis is a Morehead State track and field and cross-country alum here at Morehead State, and we're going to be talking a little bit about his career back in the 1960s and also quite a bit about Dr. Marshall Banks, the coach of the track team back in those days. And unfortunately, we lost Dr. Banks this past week. He passed away. So Dennis was the team captain on the only team captain. We'll get into that a little bit. And Dennis, I really appreciate you joining me and being on this podcast and learn a little bit about the track program back then.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first of all, I kind of be interested how you got to Morehead State. I know right now you're from, I guess, from Massachusetts. I'm not sure if that's exactly, you can kind of go into where you were back then and what kind of led you to come to Morehead State.
Okay. I was born and raised in Brockton, Massachusetts, and I graduated from Brockton High School. While there, I led in 4 different varsity sports. I excelled mostly in track, and I was a sprinter. I was a pretty good football player, too, because of my speed. I went to Morehead, ended up there because I was recruited there. And I had several different offers, but I definitely knew I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. That's something I knew. I knew at 16 I wanted to go into teaching, okay? And Morehead had a great program, a great name for teacher. At the time, it was very well known as a teacher's college. And so they had just put in a new track there, too, which was called Grass Techs. It was like one of the first in the nation. In 1964, they put that in. And that was a very big selling point to me. And so I broke it down. And actually, my first choice, I didn't get into the school academically. Okay, so Morehead was my second choice. And but I had a lot of offers. I ended up at Morehead and I stayed there for 5 years.
So when you first came to Morehead, being from Massachusetts, what was kind of going through your head as you came south? I know times were a little different, but, you know, a little bit smaller, still not a huge town here, but Morehead was kind of out here in the country a little bit, still is. But when you arrived at Morehead State, what were you thinking and how did you kind of adjust to the differences in from the north to the mid-south here?
It was a cultural shock, all right, as it would be for a young man, a young woman going to school up in the Boston area. Well, I did have a little insight on the south because my father was born and raised in Durham, North Carolina. Okay. And I had been there a lot, all right, you know, growing up, visiting my grandparents, my aunts and uncles there. So I knew. The town of Morehead at that time was, I have to say, and I'll say it, was way behind. Okay. I was, it was, how do I say it to you? It was a cultural shock, yes, but also for me, growing up in a city, it was very, very different. And to me, it lacked a lot. However, man, I got to tell you, I had the nicest friends anybody could have ever imagined, the nicest teammates anybody could have ever imagined. And the university, I got a good education. I really know that. Because when I started teaching school at 23, I was way ahead of a lot of these other kids who graduated from, you know, these well-known supposedly private schools and everything else. Morehead really was a great teaching school, and it really prepared you well. I don't care what your major was. If you're going into teaching, it was a great school.
And you went into, I believe we had talked earlier, you physical education? Is that what you kind of
yes,
went into?
Yes, I had a long career as a physical education health teacher. Okay. All right. In Massachusetts, you had to be dual certified. You had to have a, you had to be certified in both health and physical education, because through my whole career, I had to teach health as well as physical education.
So let's talk a little bit about, I know that you had mentioned when you came to Morehead, and let's talk a little bit about your coach, Dr. Banks, and what he meant to you and what he meant to the program. Basically, as we talked before, we think that you were maybe the only captain that he had. And that's a big, pretty big honor for any sport to be a captain. What was your, as you got to know him back then, what were your thoughts on him as a coach?
I know Marshall Banks came to Morehead State in the fall of 1995 as the head cross-country assistant track coach. A gentleman by the name of Earl Bentley was the head track coach at that time. And then the following year, Earl Bentley left and went and got his PhD. Marshall became the head coach, okay, in 66. Marshall was a very intelligent man, both in the area of physical education, track and field, but he was also a very well-versed man. And he, I'll tell you one thing that never surprised me about Marshall, and that was he was always a gentleman, very classy guy. He was very thankful of the opportunity that President Doran gave him, bringing him there. The first black scholarship athlete. What? I mean, he was very thankful for that. And when he had his issues with Coach Laughlin, because he went there on a basketball scholarship, President Doran was very good to him, okay, when he was going to leave the team. And he found out that Marshall was also an excellent, excellent jumper in track and field, high jumper, long jumper. And so he gave Marshall a track scholarship. So Marshall's third and fourth year at Morehead, he was on a track scholarship. His first 2 years, he was on a basketball scholarship. And he had a very good, he became a very good college long jumper, high jumper as well.
Did he tell you, you remember any of the stories? I think back then, you know, it was very tough for him, I know, and he had to switch from basketball because, unfortunately, there was some, you know, back in that time, there was some racial issues in the South, and he had a hard time. He couldn't go to every place, and there were some things that he ran into, some trouble. He did stick it out for a couple of years, I know, but finally, like you said, he made the switch and became very successful in track. Do you remember him telling you anything about those experiences and how he kind of went through that and overcame that?
Yes, he told us, myself and several of the black sprinters on the team, because I was the only white sprinter in 4 years at Morehead State, and the rest of my teammates were black. And we got along great. In fact, I roomed with them for 3 years. Marshall told us a lot. And he got put through a lot, too. He was put through a lot. And one thing he said, I'll never forget it, and I've always carried this with me. He told me this when I was 19. Well, he told a group of us our second year there, which was his first year school. He said, the best revenge is success. And I was determined to get my degree and be a great coach and a great man. He always said, You can be a great coach and a lousy man, but to have it both is very, very distinguished.
How was the team back then? Obviously, as you look now, even in the record books and things like that, a lot of you and a lot of those guys back then still hold some of those records, even years afterwards. So obviously there had to be a lot of talent on those teams back then, track and field. You did indoor and outdoor, I know. The men's team now is mainly doing, they do run some indoor, but mainly doing outdoor. Now we have a women's indoor track team. But tell me a little bit about how some of the experiences were back then on the track team and who you competed against and some good memories from those years.
That's a tough question. I have so many good memories. And I made a lot of friends on other teams, especially at Marshall University and also at East Tennessee State University.
Okay.
So, and I used to go to both of those places occasionally when I had weekends and they would come to see me. And, you know, on the track, and on the basketball court, wherever you are as an athlete, you can be a tiger on the court. But when you're off the court, be a gentleman. And I always made friends and respected the guys who I thought were very good, who I competed against. And the better you are, the more respect you gain. You know, what always brought out the best in you is when you go up against somebody who's either a little better than you or equal to you. And all right. So that was very unique. I have to tell you, in 1970, I had already graduated that year, and I was home, and I was at a party, and it came on the news. The Marshall University football team, the whole team was killed in that plane crash. I knew several of the athletes on that team, and it really hit home because some of those guys were on a track team that I competed against.
A lot of football guys did run track, still do run track.
Or baseball. There are a lot of guys who play football who are dual sport athletes, you know, and that really hit home. And I just, that one really hurt.
Yeah.
And I made friends with a lot of guys from East Tennessee. I don't know why I hit it off with the guys from East Tennessee a lot, but I did.
Talking with Dennis Hersey, the captain, Morehead State's track team back in the late 60s era, and talk a little bit about his career here on Talent Talk and a little bit about his coach, Dr. Marshall Banks, who passed away this past week or a couple weeks ago now. And what, Dennis, I guess, we talked a little bit about this in your career afterward, but being on the track team and being in Morehead State, not so much we talk about the athletic part of it, but or the academic part of it. How did just being on the track team prepare you for your career and prepare you in life afterwards when you left Morehead State?
Okay. Speaking of track, again, I was the only white sprinter, and I had a black coach. And it taught me how to get along with all different types of races of people. And when I dealt with kids of different races, different religions, because my best friend happened to be a Jewish kid from down there, mm-hmm. and he was from New York City, it makes you more open and more objective to things and to realize we're all people with the same needs, wants. Okay. And I roomed with 3 years. I roomed with black kids. I caught some static, believe me. I caught some bad remarks. They did too. But you know what? I always remember when Marshall said, the best revenge is success. Mm-hmm. Okay. Move on. They're ignorant people and just move on. And I always did that. And I used to talk about it to my teammates and we used to laugh and joke, They had a nickname for me called White Folks, but I was like part of them, okay? And they became part of me. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I mean, I just don't know how anybody can hate somebody because of their religion, their national origin, their wealth, or their race. It makes no sense just to hate somebody for one of those things. It makes no sense.
Yeah, and if everybody could take those lessons now. Obviously, a lot of issues going on now, but it's always been that way, and we wish we could change, and we are working for change, and, you know, examples like that are really good to know that, you know, there are people out there, even back then, that really didn't see it that way and wanted to be a part of everybody.
Yes, and, you know, I want to mention something, and I never knew this till I read Marshall Banks' obituary. He never talked to me about it, or any of us. I didn't know that Adrian Durham was the first college president to open the doors to the black athletes, okay, in the state of Kentucky. And yes. And that is very commendable, and that should be well noted, okay?
So he was, and he was the first, you know, black athlete, basically. And we always say on scholarship, but I don't know, we'd have to look and see. There may have been some walk-ons here and there in other schools, but pretty much the first black athlete in the OVC to earn it too. That's a good word. Earned it, scholarship money. And then of course, right behind him, you had guys like Howard Murphy on the football team and some other guys that came in. He kind of opened that door. And yes, Morehead, you know, you think of it as we're out here in Eastern Kentucky, but it was a trailblazing institution.
Yes, it was.
You know, you got to see that firsthand.
Yes, it was. It was also, I'll tell you, I had to study, but I also have a lot of great memories there about the friends I had. And I've stayed in contact with them. I've stayed in contact with them. And it's been wonderful. In fact, we were supposed to go back there this October for homecoming, but because of COVID-19, we couldn't. So we're going to come back next year. And I'm going to let you take me out for lunch, okay?
All right.
And, I say this now. It was the right place for me to go to college, okay? For both reasons. It prepared me well to be a physical education health teacher. And I'll tell you, I ran against some great, great competition there. And I ran against some Olympians there, okay? And I mean, I was good. I'm going to blow my horn here. I was very good. Okay. I had a lot of school records, and I still think I have the most school records of any track athlete. My teammates appreciated that. They gave me, you know, having been the only white sprinter, they would always come up to me and say, great, that was great, you know, and all that. And I would do the same with them. And I'm not going to say either that we were all pure lily white. We were mischievous too. Okay. We didn't do anything illegal, but we were mischievous. Okay. You know, we like to dance. We like to chase girls. We like to, you know, things like that there, but we studied and we went by the rules. We were not about to lose our scholarships for doing something stupid. And that was a very big thing. The guys I hung out with, and I hung out with all athletes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I have friends on the baseball team, the basketball team, but I always hung out with athletes. And because of that, I think I had more of a sense of direction. Okay. I had more of discipline. Okay. And it was great.
What do you think was your, you mentioned a lot of school records, which you still own. And it, I know there was a changeover in yards to meters in 1972, but those records are still held by you. What do you think was your best event back then?
You know, we had one sprinter there. He was there my first 2 years. His name was Thomas Gray, who ran a 9.300-yard dash. And Thomas would have won the NCAAs that year. Unfortunately, he got hurt in the conference meet, went down with a hamstring pull. And I could never catch. I'm going to say it straight out. Thomas Gray was better than me. All right, he was better than me. He ran a 9.3 at Morehead, and he ran a 21 flat. But I ran 9.6 twice, and I ran a 21.3, 21.4, 200, which those were, I had the school record in the outdoor 440. I ran a 48.2. I had the indoor school record in the 300 and the indoor 440. I was leadoff man for the school record mile relay team indoors and the school record outdoor 4x1 and the school record outdoor 4x4. And so I had a lot of school records, you know. I just wasn't as fast as Tommy Craig, but who was? I mean, 9.3, you know. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Tommy Gray was hard to catch on the field too. He was part of really some good teams back then. I think he may have been on the 66, probably on one of those 66 teams, if I'm not mistaken. Won the OVC.
Yes, he was also the leading rusher in the OVC that year. And I think he set a school record. He did set a Morehead State University record, rushing record that year too. And Tommy Gray was not a big guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was 5'10 and maybe 175, 180 pounds. So, you know, and he did get drafted sixth round by the San Francisco 49ers. You can check that out. But then he got drafted in the military. And, mm-hmm. he went to Vietnam. He never had a chance to play professional football, which that is a tragedy in itself. Okay. Because I really feel Tommy would have made it professionally. Yeah. I really feel he would have made it professionally in football.
Once again, talking to Dennis Hersey, Morehead State track alum here on Talent Talk. And Dennis, you mentioned you were a teacher. I don't know if are you retired now or what's going on in your life now up there in Massachusetts? I thought I read something about some dancing maybe, or I looked you up a little bit. I know maybe that was a few years ago, but just tell me a little bit about how life is up in Massachusetts now for you.
Well, I retired 2 years ago from teaching. I taught school till I was 70. Okay. And I loved it. And, but I was taking care of a very old father and a very old mother, and I had to take, that was it. Okay. Dad passed away last year. I'm still taking care of mom. I am, believe it or not, I am contemplating, going back to coaching. I really am. Okay. And I just never got enough of it, whether it be teaching, coaching. I still love it. All right. And I've kept myself very young. Okay. I never drank heavy. I never did any illegal drugs. I never smoked. I always worked out. I always chased women too. I shouldn't say that, but I did. And, if you live a clean life, you can keep yourself pretty young. All right. And, so I'm thinking about going back, and yes, I became a very good, because I always loved to dance. Mm-hmm. I became a very good ballroom dance teacher. I taught dance up until 4 years ago. After I had my third knee operation, I couldn't do it anymore. Okay. Yes, I've had four knee operations, two on each knee. Wow. Yeah. So that was great. I just had so much fun teaching ballroom dancing and doing ballroom dancing myself. And I'm also a writer.
Okay.
You'd be shocked. I've written a couple plays. Okay. Nice. Yes. And I put the performances on, and I started the Brockton Community Playhouse here in Brockton, Mass, where I'm living, and written a couple plays, and I'm working on trying to solve a couple mysteries. Okay. And so I was always very good in English, mm-hmm. and history. I was the world's worst in math. Okay. I was terrible at math, believe me. So the algebra and geometry almost cost me graduating.
No math murder mysteries then.
I don't think so. Bad. Oh, geez. My father used to shake his head. He used to get my report cards about my math course. I said, so what do you want me to do? I'm trying. But I think everybody, if you really look at it, I think everybody has a weak subject, whether it's a foreign language, whether it's math, whether it's science, English, history. I don't think anybody is really proficient in every single subject. I think, you know, and that one subject you're weak in, you have to work harder.
Well, Dennis, I really appreciate your time this afternoon visiting with us. It was great to visit with you and get to know your career and your life a little bit and reminisce about Coach Banks and all your teammates back then. So, and things are looking up for you in Massachusetts. Once again, I really appreciate your time and thank you for being on our talk.
You're welcome. And I'm just going to say this to you, that I had a great deal of respect for Marshall Banks. He was really a class guy, and he was a gentleman. He was a great coach, but he was also a great human being.
That he was indeed, and been getting a lot of outpouring of support after he passed away. So, well, that's going to wrap it up here on this edition of Talon Talk. And once again, I appreciate Dennis Hersey from Massachusetts, a Morehead State track alum, joining us on the talk. This has been really interesting. So that's going to wrap it up. I'm Matt Schaber. Join us again next week right here on Talon Talk.
This episode of Talon Talk is presented by the Morehead State Legacy Club. The Legacy Club is a part of the Eagle Athletic Family Fund and provides former Morehead State University student athletes the opportunity to maintain a lifelong connection with MSU athletics. This is an exclusive group of former MSU student athletes who understand the commitment and spirit to be an Eagle. If you are an MSU student athlete, make sure to join your former teammates in supporting the growth and success of MSU athletics. Visit MSUEagles.com today.